The scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke. If this were a church that followed the lectionary and read the Gospel every Sunday like some do, Luke would be read the last Sunday of May through next month. And so Luke is the Gospel reading for this season of the year. Now this morning, Audrey and I turned on our computer as we do every Sunday morning. And we listened to a program called Sing for Joy. It comes out of St. Olaf College. And every week, every Sunday, we listen to the music that's based on the lectionary. And the first of the songs that were sung by the choir this morning on our listening was a spiritual. It's a black spiritual, Negro spiritual, entitled King Jesus is a Listenin'. And the refrain kept going like this: King Jesus is a listening all day long to hear some sinner pray. And that kept coming back. To hear some sinner pray. Well, obviously, that's based on our reading today. Listen to hear some sinner pray.
It's quite an introduction. The reading today is from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus: God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted.
Let us pray. O God, we come to you in faith, for you have heard the prayers of the broken and the needy. You listen to hear some sinner pray. Now pour out your Spirit upon us, that our dreams and visions may bring your light and blessing to the world. Amen. When I was in high school, we didn't have the horse and buggy anymore. That was a great children's story, wasn't it? Now, my grandparents used to like to tell stories of the horse and buggy. They were in that period of time. And my mother used to brag that when she went to school, she went partially by a horse, partially on a boat across the creek, and partially walked. She liked to tell us how bad it was in the old days. Well, when I was in high school, though, I had a great English speech teacher. He was also my Sunday school teacher, so I had to put up with him a lot, but he was great. He was wonderful. And when we would give a speech in speech class, we would sit down, and he would stand up and begin pacing back and forth in front of the classroom, and he would say, "Now, what did you like about that speech?" And we would spend a few quality moments talking about what we liked about the speech. And every speech had something good that we could talk about. And then he would say, "Now, how could this speech have been better?" And we would spend some time talking about that. So I would like to take this parable that was read and that we followed this morning, and I would like to use that as a model to say, first of all, we have a Pharisee who gives a speech, prayer, in the temple. And I would like to ask you, what did you like about that prayer speech of his? And I think I can say for all of us that we like the beginning of it. It starts out very well. He says, I thank you, God. That's a great way to pray. Almost every public prayer that you have ever heard probably has something like that in it. I thank you, God. Very good. Very strong beginning. And the content, once he gets into the content of his prayer speech, he says, I fast twice a week. Now, give him a little bit of slack here. Before you judge that, let's try to understand what he's saying. This is a very important part of the religious life of the community. He said, I fast twice a week. And my first thought is, oh, I could never do that. I'm not called. I have no calling for fasting. That is not one of my gifts. I don't know if it's yours or not, but you can try it. Try fasting twice a week. I mean, that's way over the top. Every Jew was required to fast one time a year on the Day of Atonement. I think I could do that. Only one time a year. But my gosh, he's fasting twice a week. Way, way beyond any expectation. And then he says, I give a tithe of all of my income. Which, you might miss that in a casual reading. He not only gives 10% of his income source, but then he gives himself a surcharge. If he goes and buys something in the market, he pays 10% back to the temple over the price that he had to pay in case the person who sold it to him didn't pay a tithe on what he sold him. He's way over the top. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. He comes out of a tradition in which he understands and knows what it's like for his nation to be destroyed. Both the northern and southern kingdoms, Israel and Judah, were both defeated, both destroyed, both went into extinction. And why? Why was there the extinction, the destruction of the country? Well, it was because holiness had been lost. Holiness, of course, is what? It means to be separate. Holy means separation. And the people forgot to be holy. They refused to be holy. They acted just like everybody else in the world. And they lost their faith. They lost their country. They lost everything. All of the promises of God came to an end when they went into exile. The country was destroyed. And the Pharisee and those like him said, we are never going to let that happen to us again. And that's why the Pharisee and his Pharisee friends and others were so meticulous to be holy. They wanted to make sure that the blessings of God would never cease, that they would never again be destroyed, that they would never again be put into exile. So they wanted to have a holy life. And so don't judge him too harshly. If he would have stopped his prayer by saying, oh God, I thank you, and then maybe talking about what it means to be holy, that would be good. But there's a problem. Standing over to the far side, remember, two men went up to the temple to pray, is a tax collector. I call him TC for short, but tax collector. And as the Pharisee prays with his eyes to heaven and his hands to God, he looks over and says, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, like this tax collector. If only he had not said that. Well, there's a lot to like about his prayer, and there is a lot to question about his prayer, isn't there? Okay, the tax collector, he also is in the temple, and he's also going to pray. And he's not standing where the Pharisee stands. The Pharisee was ushered in to the best seat in the house. The tax collector, TC, he's standing far away. His posture is at a distance from the best place in the temple. And he doesn't raise his eyes and raise his hands to pray. He looks down. And he beats his breast. That's what women do at a funeral. He's not even a real man. He's so low. Why is he low? Well, he has a job that is very distasteful. He's a tax collector. And he's not really a chief tax collector. He's a down-the-line tax collector. And he goes out and he takes money from people. What Rome, how disgusting is that? What Rome requires of the citizens. That's terribly disgusting. A conquering people. This people's in occupation. That they're not free. They have to pay their taxes to the occupying army and government. That's the most disgusting thing they could ever imagine doing. And so the tax collector goes out and he takes the money that Rome wants. But he won't get his salary from that. He has to extort. He has to get a little extra. That's the way he gets paid, by taking more than is owed. And he takes from poor people. And what that means is he's squeezing the last penny out of some people's pockets. And when these people have been squeezed dry and have no money left, they don't have a temple tax to be able to give when they come to worship, which means they can't come to worship. You see what he's doing? He's not only robbing from the poor and the vulnerable and the old and the sick and those who don't have much at all, and that was most people. He's not only robbing them of food, he's robbing them of their relationship with God. How despicable, how awful, how terrible can you be? It's no wonder that all of the Jews hated the tax collector. The tax collector was a terrible person. And there he is in the temple. And he can't even look up to God. He's as down, he's as low as he could possibly be. And he beats on his breast. Hopeless man. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, what do you like about that prayer? It's pretty honest, isn't it? And as Jesus is giving this parable to his friends, He shocks them, speechless. For he says, the Pharisee went home from the temple, and the tax collector went home justified, made right with God. Well, how could you improve the prayer of the Pharisee? How could it be made better? Maybe like this. The Pharisee goes into the temple to pray, and he prays, God, I've been so successful being good that I've forgotten that I need you. I keep the laws, I keep the customs, I tithe, I give my money, I fast, I pray, I do all this thing, these things, and I have lifted myself and elevated myself so high that I don't even remember that I need you. I think it's all me and how good I am. Forgive me for my pride. And then he looks over at the tax collector, and he walks over to him. And he puts his hands on the shoulders of the tax collector, and he says, forgive me. And the tax collector is speechless. Forgive you? He says, for what? And the Pharisee says, because I have looked down on people, I've been so successful being good that I've looked down on people who are not as good as I am. And I have despised people like you. I have despised you. And now today I understand that in cutting myself off from you, by despising you, I have cut off myself from God. And I need your forgiveness. I've caught myself just in time. That might have improved the prayer. He didn't pray that, but that might have improved his prayer. Well, how about the tax collector? How would you improve his prayer? He prays, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. How would you improve that? You can't. It's a perfect prayer. 7 words, honestly spoken. God, I'm a hopeless person. I'm in need of you. I can't do this on my own. I have messed up my life time and time and time again. There's no way I can get back in grace. There's no way I can make restitution for all I've done, for all I've stolen, for every bad thing I've ever thought and done. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. A perfect prayer. Jesus finishes this parable by saying, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. And today we are to be reminded, are we not? Let God do the exalting. Let God do the judging. Let God decide who's worthy and who's not, who's in and who's out. Frankly, I don't have the tools to do that. And neither do you. Let God be God. Let God be merciful to you and to everyone. God will do it right and will make it perfect. Amen.